Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And what we're coming to this morning is a pretty familiar passage. It's a poem that was written by King Solomon, which we're a little bit later here, we're going to read out loud together. Very appropriate for us as we're moving from 2008 to 2009, this change of time for us, our last Sunday together here until next year. But before we get there, now if you got this open, that's good. Keep your finger there, keep it open so you can look at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 1. But to help us get this poem into our minds, I'd like to ask Margie and Mike to come up with us. They're going to do their best imitation of the birds. Okay? The birds came out with this song, Turn, 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 on their title album. The title, it was on the album, same title, Turn, Turn, Turn. Anybody remember what year that came out? What year did that come out? 60, and some of you are dating yourselves. How many think it was 64? No. 65? 66? 67? 65. Okay, so we'll listen to the song, we'll come back, we'll read this poem together. Right? How many of you got that? The 45 when it first came out. That's really dating people, isn't it? Played it over and over again, that thing that spun around the needle on it. Wow, different. Ecclesiastes, thank you guys. Really appreciate you doing that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 1. We're going to read this out loud together. You'll see the words up here on the screen, which will help us to avoid chaos. Right? There's a time for chaos. Yeah. Okay. Let's try reading it together. It's the words. There we go. Okay. What? Whoop. Read fast. Okay. Let's read together. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. If you look at this poem and just making some observations about it, there's what here? There's a balance between the good things in life and the harder things in life. And then some people have gone even farther with this. They divide the poem into sections about the different things that happen to us in life, things that happen to us physically, and then things that happen to us at the core of who we are and our soul, and then what goes on with us spiritually. Some have seen in this poem there's times of creation and times of destruction, and those are balanced with times of evaluating our lives and judging our lives. What he's written about are the experiences of our lives that take place during the seasons of our lives. Using the illustration between spring, which is when we're born, and summer, which would be our youth, fall, which are kind of those midland years, and then winter being those times when we prepare to and we die. Top five signs you know you're getting older. Okay? Number five, your mind makes contracts your body can't keep. Okay? Number four, you look for your glasses for half an hour and find they've been on your head the whole time. Number three, you don't remember being absent-minded. Number two, you finally get your head together, now your body is falling apart. And the number one sign that you're getting older, you sing along with elevator music. You ever do that? Da, 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 da. What am I doing? Bottom line, if we hang around here on planet Earth long enough, we get older. And as we get older, we go through these different seasons of life. And eventually we get to winter and to death. And there is just enough time for all the things that are supposed to happen to us to take place in our lives. Some people have less time than others, but when that time is up, time is up. All right? When our time is up, what? It's up. Okay? That's encouraging, isn't it? Let's go on. Verses 9 and 10. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Let's pause there. Let's grab on to what Solomon is getting at here. When we were down in Puerto Trompa, down at the clinic there and the compound that clinic is a part of in our Mexico mission trip, that complex there runs off of solar power. So there's a solar power that's supposed to be stored in batteries, and then there's a diesel generator that is supposed to back up that system. And of course, while we were down there, there was a problem with all that. And so we had a minimal use of electricity, which meant minimal lights. So at 5 o'clock or so, the whole area got very, very dark. Which is, by the way, it's very beautiful down there. You can imagine we're in the middle of this agricultural valley, surrounded by fields. So it's very peaceful. And if you look up at the stars, they got that whole galaxy thing going on. It's just absolutely gorgeous. But because there was a minimal amount of electricity, because we were conserving on electricity, and there was really one light that we would use that was burning in the trailer where we would meet for dinner and devotions. And so at about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or so at night, we were done for the day. And there really wasn't anything else that we could do because there really wasn't the lighting to do anything, so we went to bed. So parents, grab onto this thing. Teenagers in bed, quiet by 9 o'clock, lights out. Okay, maybe it's the quality of teenagers we were with down there, but that was pretty amazing. And all that is so different than what goes on around here. Right? Here we adjust our clocks. We spring forward and fall back, right? Spring forward, fall back. And we produce gigagobs of energy so that we can light up our cities 24/7, 365. We literally turn night into day. And we fill our lives with endless activities. And we delude ourselves into thinking that we are the masters of our time. And God creates night as a time for rest. And there's a kind of an arrogance on our part that we resist that timing, that seasoning of things. We dye our hair, and we put stuff trying to make it keep growing. We cover ourselves with all kinds of creams and solutions. We take medications. We replace body parts, trying to hang on to what inevitably is going to pass away. And even if we change the systems by which we measure time physically or try to alter the inevitable, the seasons pass. And so Solomon says that man toils. He works very hard at resisting the inevitable progression of the seasons of life. We all move from advantage to disadvantage. Well, and when we're gone, the seasons just keep going without us. Verse 9 reminds us that man toiling to gain against whatever is inevitable is futile. Resistance is futile. I've waited a long time to say that. Resistance is futile. Say that with me, will you? Resistance is futile. But God, in verse 10, God has given to us a different business. It's a different purpose to our lives. The Hebrew word for business is inyon. It's a task. It's a burden. It's a life's work. Something you commit yourself to for your life. And God gives to us a different business to be busy with. And the Hebrew word for busy is anah. It literally means to be humbled by something, to submit ourselves to something. So the point being that as we submit ourselves to God, what He offers to us in life, life no longer is futile. It's no longer hopeless. It is no longer an empty endeavor. So what does God offer us in life? Ask that with me. What does God offer us? Glad you asked the question. Okay, look with me. Verses 11 and 13. 11 and 13. What does God offer us? What does He offer us? Say that with me. What God offers us. What God offers us. Verse 11. He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. And the word beautiful in Hebrew is Yahweh. Not Yahweh, but Yahweh. Right? Which has the idea of fitting things together
So that as a result, when everything is fitted together as in the way that it's designed to be fitted together, when all that is fitted together, what is the result of that, what comes together is something incredibly beautiful. Think about the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. They're just kind of chaos when you lay them out on the table. But then you fit that thing together, and it's assembled into a beautiful work of art, exactly as the artist intended. This last week, we received two phone calls, one of which was that a friend of ours had passed away. And the second phone call was that a member of the family had passed away. And those were unexpected. They were actually kind of shocking to receive those. And there's others. I know here in the congregation, there's others, that even this last week, that you've received phone calls like that. You know, maybe you're in a season that's hard. Time to loose. Time when things are slipping away. A time of casting away rather than gathering. And sometimes it's hard to see the beauty in what we go through. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Those who come face to face with the ugliness of sin and the crud of this world, because God Himself will comfort them. God is present in birth and death. He's just as much a part of the sowing as He's a part of the harvest. And He's with us in peace and in war. And while we may see crud and chaos and maybe even futility in our lives in the seasons of life, we're not alone. God is with us. And God is fitting all that together into something that is meaningful, something that ultimately is very beautiful. Also, verse 11, also He, God, has put eternity into the man's heart, yet so that he, man, cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. How many of you had retirement accounts? I use the word had, past tense. How many of you had retirement accounts? God gives to mankind, to each of us, the ability to dream and to imagine and to think beyond today. To look forward through the progression of years and to imagine how those years can be used to improve ourselves, to lay a better foundation for the next generation, to progress, to plan for what's coming. Eternity in Hebrew, olam, it has the idea of eternity. But also our ignorance about the future. See, we may have some understanding of what may come in the future, some expectations of dreams. We may lay some plans for that. But you ever heard the expression that the more you know, the more you realize you what? Don't know. Okay? So ultimately, we have no certain knowledge, no certain understanding of how that future is really going to work out. There are eternal dimensions to existence that are known only to the sovereign God. And the God who is sovereign over eternity, who created time, who uses time according to His purposes, who sees time as one continuous now, who knows every detail of history and all the possibilities of what may be, that same God is working all things together into what is beautiful, fitting according to His will. And we have no idea how God is going to take the stuff that's going on in our lives, often hard realities, and to fit all that together into something beautiful. But what God gives to us, offers to us, is the assurance that He is. So grab this. In the midst of the ugliness and the crud and the hopelessness and the futility that can so often be a part of our lives, that most often surrounds us, in the midst of life, God offers us unalterable beauty. God offers us unalterable beauty. Point being that one crucial part of our business in life, our God-given labor in life, is to humbly submit ourselves to trust God that He is making everything beautiful in its time. Verse 12. Verse 12. I, meaning King Solomon who's writing this, I perceived that there is nothing better for them, those who are busy with God's business for those trusting God, there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Joyful is the Hebrew word samach. Literally means cheer up. Celebrate. Be glad. You know? Partay. And do good. I know, some of you guys, we should get you guys to stand up and partay. Stand up. Stand up. You guys sit over there, you do nothing all day during the sermon. Stand up a minute. Stand up. Come on. Stand. Stand up. You want them to stand up and do this? The critics' corner over here? Stand up. Come on. Stand up. You're not going to do that, are you? Shh. You have royally embarrassed yourselves. I just want you to know that, okay? What about you guys? Can you guys do this? Stand up a minute. Stand up. This is way off topic here, all right? Just, okay, now try this. Partay. Just do this. Partay. See, they can do it. What is it? Oh, man. My notes. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So he says, be joyful. This is exciting stuff, all right? And he says, do good, which in Hebrew has the idea of doing what is morally good, what is kind, what is loving, doing the right thing, and enjoying the benefits of doing what's right. Do you ever feel that when you do something that's right, and you know, man, I was right, I did the right thing. Do you ever feel good about that? So he says, enjoy that. Don't worry, be happy. Live life to the fullest. Celebrate what is good in life. Verse 13, also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil, for this is God's gift to man. In Hebrew, the verb to eat, it means what? To eat. That's hard, okay? It has the idea of enjoying what you're eating. And to drink in Hebrew, it means what? To drink. And it has the idea of enjoying what you're drinking. You know, think about a wedding reception, right? Where there's just like this endless buffet table. It just goes on forever with all this food and stuff to drink. And it's just wonderful. Your favorite foods. And you got family and friends. And there's great conversation. And there's joy. And it just goes on. And you don't get tired of it because it's just so absolutely wonderful. That's what he's talking about. And then Solomon writes, take pleasure in your toil, in your labor. And the things that you have given sweat and hard work to accomplish. And the Hebrew word for take pleasure, be careful, literally has the idea of you step back and you kind of admire it and you go, wow. A couple of years ago, I built a shed in our backyard, which was a major project for me. Some of you are probably sick and tired of hearing me talk about this shed. It was hard work for me. And it was out of the box of my experience. It was like pushing the limits of what I knew how to do. And when it was finished, it was hugely gratifying for me to just step back and take a look at what I had done. And it was just a feel good about myself type of moment. You ever experience that? See? Accomplishing something and being able to step back and say to yourself, self, you done well. You know, and sometimes we feel guilty for that, like it's pride and arrogant to feel good about what God enables us to do. But God tells us it is okay to take pleasure in what we're able to accomplish. Point being, that if we are humbly submitting ourselves to God, then we should rejoice. We should take pleasure in what God blesses us with. Yeah, some people have the idea that if they're truly righteous, holy, right? Sanctified. One of God's frozen people, right? That you're supposed to walk around like you just drank like sweet pickle juice with a twist of lemon to it. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, we know that for those who love God, all things, how many things? All things work together for what? For good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And later on he writes down in verse 37, for in all these things, how many things? All things. And that's the sin and the crud and the death and the disease and the hopelessness and the futility of this world. In all these things, we are more than what? conquerors. Wow. Through him who loved us. God's gift to man. What God offers us is not futility, but purpose. Life with him. His presence and working in our lives, and his assurance that he, the sovereign God, has it all under control. Trust God, submit to God, and party on. Verse 14. I, Solomon, perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, not anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. God sets up life according to his purposes, and we can never change that, what God has purposed to accomplish. And God sets up life that way so that we will learn to fear him. Fear is the word Yahweh. It has the idea of awe, respect, worship, obedience. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Wisdom isn't terror. The God is waiting to obliterate us if we get out of line. Right? See this? God at his computer pressing the smite button on this poor guy who's about to have a piano dropped on his head, right? Wisdom is recognizing that above and beyond all is God and his purposes. Wisdom is submitting to God in the midst of what life is. Try that with me. Wisdom is submitting to God in the midst of what life is. Verse 15. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. God seeks that which has been driven away. Put in a less confusing way. What goes around, what? Comes around, right? Put another way. God brings back what has already passed away. Brings it back. Point being that God, by his grace, patiently keeps bringing us back to the point of examining our lives. Are we living wisely? Fearing God? Submitting ourselves to God in the midst of our circumstances. Putting all this together for us today, we can't escape the reality of verses 1 to 8. Solomon's poem about seasons and time, the experiences of our lives. And yet, God desires for us to learn what it means to enjoy life with him in the midst of whatever the season is of our lives. And in humble submission, trusting the circumstances that we're going through, our very lives to God, in humble submission, we receive what God offers to us. Apart from that submission is futility and the feeling that life is meaningless, miserable. All this really comes down to a choice that's in front of each one of us. A choice on how we move forward into the next year through the seasons of our lives. A daily choice that we need to make every day. The choice to walk through each day, through life each day, trusting God, submitting to his purposes for us. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you for what you offer to us. You offer to us the assurance, the reality, that you, the sovereign God, are working all things together into what is ultimately beautiful. And while we may not see it, while the circumstances we go through in life may be the most extreme and difficult, we know that we can trust you because you are the sovereign God who is working all this together. And Father, it is exciting to think that trusting you isn't about some hideous, burdensome thing that somehow we have to go through life focused on what is horrible and we're unable to bear because somehow we're serving God who will smite us if we get out of line. But we serve the God who says to us, take pleasure in what I bless you with. Rejoice. Be joyful. Jesus came to give us life abundant. What an amazing thing. Father, as we go into this next year, even today, as we just go out of here, help us to humbly submit to you. I mean, just to surrender our lives and circumstances to you. That sounds easy to say it, but God, that we would give everything to you. And maybe this morning, maybe as you're sitting here and we're praying here and talking to God, there's areas in your life you don't want to give them up. And you might even talk to God about that. God, I don't want to give you this. Be honest with him. God, help me to submit this. I don't want to give it to you. You're going to have to take it from me. I'm going to be kicking and screaming, but take it. I want to give it to you. Because I don't want to go through life in futility. Who does? I want to know what is beautiful. I want to go through life with confidence. I want to go through life with joy, rejoicing, taking pleasure in what you give. And Father, may that be true. May we submit our lives to you in humility. And as we go into this next year, as you are the one who is in control and in charge of our lives, regardless of the circumstances, teach us to rejoice. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to take pleasure in all that you enable us to do and be a part of. And Father, above and beyond it all, may you receive the honor and glory. May you be pleased. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.